Thank you, and welcome once again to this radio broadcast. We're glad you're listening. And we do pray that God would really bless you this morning as you listen once again to another portion from His own precious Word. We would like to take this opportunity to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock, and we have classes for every age, and we invite you to come. Bring your families, bring your Bibles, and just be with us in these services. And then at 11 o'clock this morning is our morning worship service. And of course, you're welcome to come to this service. Then tonight, we have our prayer service beginning at 4 o'clock, and then at 4:30 is our evening worship. And then Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. is our midweek Bible study. So these are our regularly scheduled services, and you're welcome to come and bring your Bibles, your family, and worship the Lord Jesus Christ with us. If you're looking for a place where you can worship God, where you can find out what God's Word says to you, you'll find it at the Independence Baptist Church. We welcome you to come. If you have questions or comments concerning the things that I preach over this radio station or the things that Independence Baptist Church believes, you're welcome to address me with any and all of those questions. You can contact me by writing to the Independence Baptist Church in Forestdale, Missouri, and I'll be glad to get back with you on those things. If you have questions also concerning the things that we believe, you can check out our church's website. That's www.independencebaptist.org. That's independencebaptist.org, one word, and you'll find many things there concerning the things that we believe at the Independence Baptist Church. This morning, I'd like to take my text from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, and think on the subject, you can trust the Word of God. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 15 through 17 states, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." My question this morning concerning the Bible is this: can you trust it? We know you can. So I've titled this message, "You Can Trust the Word of God." Listen, folks, the Bible we hold in our hands is the Word of God. I'm talking about the King James Version of the Bible. God has delivered this Word to us down through the ages through apostles and prophets, and we can know that it is the Word of God. Think of this, that hundreds of years before the invention of the modern printing press, holy books were copied by hand. Did God allow the scribes to mutilate the text? Did God have no more control over the transcribing of the Word of God that men were able to add to and take away from His own precious Word? We find today in this modern world in which we're living that many attacks are made upon the Bible. You see, there are those folks that are stating publicly, there are so-called scholars that's doing so, that the end of the book of Mark is lost. That is, chapter 16, verse 9 through 20 is not even in the Bible. Although it's printed in mine, I have a King James, and it's there. But the scholars say that's just not so. Also this, in the book of John chapter 5 and verse 4, where the Bible talks about the angel that comes down to the pool at Bethesda and stirs up the water, and the person could get in the water and be healed, that verse is left out of many of the modern versions. Somebody said, well, what happened there was that a copyist wrote an explanation on the margin of the book he was copying, and the next scribe just wrote the note in the text itself. Is that what happened? Can we really trust what we read in the Bible to be God's Word? When the Bible talks about the Trinity in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, many folks say those verses are just not in the Bible. It is in mine. I have a King James Version of the Bible. Think of this, folks. If these passages that I've mentioned to you are glosses, what about other passages. If some of the passages in the Bible are false, how in the world can I ever pick out the truth? The fact is, if God is not able to preserve His Word, we simply don't have His Word. But I know that I have a sure answer. I can trust that my Bible is the complete Word of God. Notice what Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. Jesus said this concerning the end of time and His Word. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But now notice what Jesus said. But my words shall not pass away. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8 states, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Frankly, folks, no further proof than these two passages needs to be made to establish the fact that God has inspired and preserved His Word in the King James Bible. But notice another passage, the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, now get this, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You see, the fact is that we are saved by the word of God. I know Jesus is the word of God, but God has given to us the written word of God. It's inspired of God, written down by holy men of old and the apostles. And God has not only given us those words in inspiration, He has also preserved those words. Get this, folks. We are saved and purified by the Word of God. And the Word of God that Peter spoke about in 1 Peter 1, verse 22 through 25, is the Word of God, and it is a copy. Notice also in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, when Paul refers Timothy back to the Word of God, he refers back to a copy, not the original. I've heard people say, the original is what's inspired and nothing else is. Well, I want to tell you, the King James Bible is a preserved, inspired copy of the Word of God. It's as good as the original. Notice this, that if one today reads the spat of books and articles written today against the King James Bible, disclaiming its authority, one would suppose that when the original autographs perished, that the Word of God also perished with them, and that our copies of the original are destitute of divine authority. Well, this is simply not so. Notice this, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 states, preach the word. The fact is, if we do not have the word, we cannot preach it. The Bible is inspired of God, and it is preserved of God. You see, the Textus Receptus, from which the King James Version is translated, is indeed the inspired word of God. Consequently, I can hold in my hand the King James Version and say without hesitation that it is the inspired, infallible, and inerrant word of God. Understand, folks, that the inspiration of the Scriptures is no good if there is not preservation of the Scriptures. People can go back and say, the original is what is inspired, and that's true. God did inspire men to write His own holy word. But if those originals are not preserved in copies, then we do not have anything. The only people that would have any clue as to what the originals even contained would be those people that lived when it was inspired. But God has preserved His Word to us and for us. Notice what the Bible states here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible states all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The fact is, if this is not inspired, we don't have anything. But God has preserved His inspired Word for us living in this day and in this time. I'd ask you very plainly here concerning the prophets of old. Did they believe in the inspiration? Notice Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. Isaiah wrote this, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Did Isaiah believe what he wrote? Was Isaiah inspired when he wrote what he wrote? Why, sure he was. And Isaiah wrote that the word of our God shall stand forever. It shall. They might burn the pages that the Holy Bible is written on, but the Word of God will stand forever. But notice this. Peter, later than Isaiah, also believed the same thing that Isaiah taught. Notice in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 and verse 25. "For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." I'm glad today that I can take the Bible that I hold in my hand, and I can believe and know that it is the inspired, preserved word of the Almighty God. Notice this passage in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." How can we be born again if we do not have an incorruptible word of God? If we do not have the inspired word of God today, then no one can be saved, and no one is saved if they don't have the word of God. Daniel also believed the word of God. Notice what is written in the book of Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 4. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." You know, the fact is that God promised Daniel that the words that he wrote down, inspired words that Daniel wrote down, would be preserved until the last generation of Jews upon the earth saw it fulfilled. Wow. It was sealed, but God said, it's going to come to pass because I wrote it down. Notice that Jesus Christ himself quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3 when he said, Matthew 4 and verse 4. Notice what Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 states. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." How can we live by every word of God if we don't have every word of God? Think of that. God inspired His word and gave it to us in His Bible, but God has also preserved His word, and we have that word in the King James Version of the Bible. Notice also once again the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. Jesus Christ said this, "Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled." Luke chapter 16 verse 17. Jesus said, "And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one tittle of the law to fail." Well, the law was written down in the Word of God and given unto us. God inspired it. And God has preserved His Word in the King James Bible. I want to tell you this morning that you can trust the Bible, the King James Bible. It is the Word of God. And when you read your Bible, you can rest assured that what God said in there is exactly what He said. You can believe that God has had the power and has the power to keep men from polluting His Word and turning it into a great big farce. God has preserved His Word. You can have it in the King James Bible. Read it and know that it's so. We see that our time has slipped away from us once again. We want to take this opportunity to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church and listen again next Sunday morning for another radio broadcast, the Lord willing. Thank you.